Blog Talk Radio.
Vice President Marjorie Taylor Greene, according to NBC News, exclusive reporting, the controversial Georgia congresswoman is setting her sights on just that, a presidential ticket, hoping to team up with former President Donald Trump as his VP in 2024. Former Trump aide Steve Bannon, who spoke to Greene about the job, told NBC News she, quote, sees herself on the short list. I want to bring in NBC senior national politics reporter Jonathan Allen, who wrote the NBCNews.com exclusive. Elise Jordan joins us again. Jonathan, this is, I think a lot of people are just going to try to swallow this idea that it could be a Trump-Green 2024 ticket. What more are your sources telling you about the viability, the reality that something like this could happen?
Yeah, I mean, nobody I talked to is certain that Donald Trump's going to do this, of course. We're a long way away from him actually making a short list and vetting candidates. He obviously really likes Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is somebody who has immense ambition, as Steve Bannon said to me. He paraphrased an old Washington saw saying every time she looks in the mirror, she sees a president staring back at her. The vice presidency might be the fastest route to do that. Of course, there are, again, a lot of obstacles. Number one, Trump picking her, him being the nominee, and, of course, winning the presidency, all of which remain in doubt.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Yeah, hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope all is well.
Yes, yes. So you heard that a while ago. That was such madness. Imagine her and Trump being the way he is. He claims to be healthy and fit. Imagine if he keeps over the next day. God forbid he's elected president again, and she took over. She's a dunce. She's an idiot. She's a bully. She's a moron. But anyway, time to move on. It's season 6, episode 13, Democracy Under Threat. That's the title for today, Monday, December 4th, 2023. So as Trump continues to make threats and not be held accountable, his crazy MAGA followers engage in taunting and instigating violence against people who don't agree with them. What side of history will you be on when the shoe drops? Are you an independent and still not sure who you'll vote for come Tuesday, November 5th, 2024? This is the perfect place for you. Welcome. We have the information to help you make an informed decision. America depends on every decent person to drop their hang-ups, unite, and fight for American democracy, as Trump and his MAGA base is trying to destroy the republic. So sit back, relax with a beverage, and enjoy the show tonight as we explore ways on how to escape the madness that is Trumpism. Project 2025 is authoritarianism is on steroids, where there will be no turning back. We can kiss freedom and everything we enjoy and hold dearly goodbye. So when you call in tonight, please say your first name, where you're calling from, and do not interrupt the host nor speak over another caller. We don't care who you are, no matter who you are. Fail to do so will mean termination of a call. Call in at 515-605-9802 and remember to visit the website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori.
Hi, yes. I just have a little essay that I wrote, and I just wanted to read it. I just want to say good evening to everyone, and we at Kitchen Politics 123 are here three times a week. We're here on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday evening, defending the democracy of the United States of America. We speak truth to power. We research all our topics. We do not spin stories. We do not lie, nor do we spin the news. After last night's podcast, David and I have decided we will no longer allow a Trump supporter on our broadcast. They have proven to us over and over that those who still support Trump are lost souls. There's no hope for them. We will not waste any more airtime on them. Instead, we will continue doing what we do best. The stakes are very high in this election, and we promise to do all we can to help elect Biden and Harris to a second term. On July 4th, 1776, 247 years ago, the United States of America firmly rejected King George III's entire idea of a monarchy, and we will do that again in the 2024 election.
Indeed, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because every time we have a Trump-supporting Republican or conservative on the show, they hijack the show and try to narrate where the show is going and everything. And we had a great show about capitalism last night, and unfortunately, you know, we got a call. And we're glad for people to call in and everything, but it should be a dialogue of ideas, you know, not you trying to, like, force down your beliefs on people or, you know, just, like, try take over the show, as it may. You know, so we're not going to have that anymore. And, you know, not adhering to our rules about, you know, saying where you're from and your first name, then, you know, bye-bye. And if you refuse to, you know, be quiet and let others speak and have a dialogue like we said, you're gone, okay? So please, show some respect. If you want that, then, you know, go to Rush Limbaugh. Well, Rush Limbaugh is dead and burning in hell. But, you know, if you want that, go to Sean Hannity and Savage and whoever else who are conservatives over there at the radio show. We're not going to tolerate that. Nobody's here for that. We want dialogue. We want respect. And if you want respect, give respect. This is our show, not yours. Okay, so with that, let's move on. So the first thing on the agenda tonight is Republican Congressman Max Miller. He's a former Donald Trump aide turned Ohio congressman. He issued a warning Monday against five top Republican GOP members should the former president be reelected in 2024. So Trump is currently among the packed field of candidates seeking the 2024 GOP presidential nomination, as we know. He is way out in the lead by 50, near 60 points. As part of his bid for a second term in the White House, over the past year, he has consistently led the polls by a sizable margin. So he is more than likely going to be the Republican nominee, and voters at a national level, while his opponents have struggled to muster double-digit support, chief among them being Ron DeSantis. You know, DeSantis, he's a Nazi, as we all know, and such a commanding lead has led many observers to consider it an inevitably thing that Trump will receive the nomination for the third time next year. So Politico reported that Republicans in Washington, D.C. are already bracing for another election cycle dominated by Trump. The report also found a census among some GOP members that a second Trump term could lead to majority clashes in high-level party leadership. You know, so among those making such predictions to Politico was Miller, Max Miller from Ohio, the congressman. He represents Ohio's 7th district since January after previously holding various positions within the Trump administration. And he was speaking to the outlet. The Trump-aligned congressman seemed to be suggesting that the former president's return could mean particular trouble for the five members of Congress who constitute the House GOP leadership. Speaker Mike Johnson is one. Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik from New York. She's a Republican Policy Committee Chair. Third highest ranking Republican in the House now. Congressman Gary Palmer. Who else? You know, and a couple others, really. So while Miller's comments suggested that all the House GOP leadership roles could be up in the air, it's also likely that those with a history of strong loyalty to Trump, like Stefanik, might survive any change-ups. Johnson has also notably aligned with Trump over the years, but in recent his recent willingness to extend government funding deadlines to avoid a shutdown, the same move that sank his predecessor Kevin McCarthy of California, has caused tension among those House Republicans seeking a firmer stance on big spending cuts. So that includes Miller. So Miller previously told Politico last month that he continues to play games. We're talking about a man 30 days ago said that he was an anti-CR guy. We are talking about a man 30 days ago that was anti-Ukraine funding. It shows me he has never really morally convinced or convicted in his position to begin with. So now, again, Trump is trying to bully Republicans and current leadership, which they're all a joke, really, because, you know, everything he says, they do. He says, jump high, that's a how high. Jump off a cliff. Okay, master, boom. You know, no critical thinking, no thinking about putting America first, but their political careers and interests, and Donald Trump ahead of everything else. You know, like you say, it's not a monarchy, but it's a presidency. Three executive branches, the executive branch, the judiciary branch, and Congress. So no man is above the law, and no man should be king of America. We'll finish that in 1776. So Donald Trump has no chance. If he does win, what he's going to do is put out the National Guard to quell all protesters against him. And that's tyranny right there. You know, so we're not going to allow that. Are we, America?
Nope. Let's just talk a little bit about his conservative plan. And the reason we're so tonight is because the alarm buttons have gone off. And it's time. It is now December. We're getting, before we know it, you know, it'll be time for the Iowa caucus. And we need to understand that Project 2025 is something that the Republican Party, well, actually the MAGA Party, let's just put it that way, had put together this plan that we've been talking about. And we have decided that we can't just sit back and allow them to spew all of this and we say nothing about it. So it's time that we talk about it. It's time that we bring it out in the open. It's time that we understand that our democracy is under threat. We have been spoiled in democracy for over 200 years, as I told you earlier. And we have forgotten what it's like to, I mean, we don't know what it's like to be, you know, in a dictatorship and lose all our rights. So having said that, we are going to focus on electing the President Biden, Vice President Harris to a second term. We need to talk about what they're doing, and we also need to talk about what the MAGA Republican Party wants to do as well. So this way we can draw contrasts and hopefully find people that are interested in listening instead of, you know, playing with words and, you know, saying all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're not going to put up with that anymore. I'm done with it.
Yes, so, exactly. And for those who missed the Project 2025 three-part series that we had, what is the plan? It is to reshape the executive branch of the United States federal government in the event that Republicans, God forbid, take over in 2024. In a presidential election. So it was established in 2022. The project seeks to recruit tens of thousands of conservatives in Washington, D.C. to replace existing civil service workers who are usually nonpartisan, non-political, and they're professionals, to replace the existing federal civil service workers. And ours call it the deep state, where, you know, nothing like that exists, really. It's rubbish. Something Trump pulled out of his ass just to get sympathy and play upon the fears of the people. And usually it's in the Bible Belt and the South and up in Christian country in Utah and wherever else, where the red states are. So participants in this project cannot promote a specific presidential candidate, but many have chosen to close in their ties with Donald Trump. And the plan would perform a swift takeover of the entire executive branch on a maximum version of the unitary executive theory, proposed the President of the United States as absolute power of the executive branch upon inauguration. So, you know, it's a dictatorship they want to have, and the figurehead would be Donald Trump if he wins, and we know that he won't win because we're going to fight on January 5th and make, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris reelected. So the development of the plan is led by the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative U.S. think tank in collaboration with some 38 partners, including Turning Points USA, led by Charlie Kirk, and the Conservative Partnership Institute, a CPI, including former Trump Chief of Staff Matt Meadows, as a senior partner, the Center for Renewing America, led by Trump's Office on Management Budget Director, Russell Voigt, and America First Legal, led by former Trump senior advisor, Stephen Miller. Well, Stephen, you all know Stephen Miller. He has policies that are anti-immigrant and wants to push that ahead. And it failed miserably. And it envisions a widespread change across the entire government, particularly with regards to economic and social policy, and the role of the federal government and federal agencies. The project proposes slashing the Justice Department funding and politicizing it, dismantling the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, and eliminating the cabinet departments of education and commerce. So citing anonymous sources, the Washington Post reported that Project 2025 includes immediate invoking of the Insurrection Act to deploy the military for domestic law enforcement and directing the Justice Department to pursue Trump adversaries. So he wants to throw his opponents in prison like all dictators would. And the Project 2025 consists of largely a book of policy recommendations titled Mandate for Leadership, The Conservative Promise. It's over 1,000 pages and it's an accompanying personal database for submission. So saving money, people. $25 for it, and there's also an online course called the Presidential Administration Academy, a guide to developing transitional plans. And that is crazy because the United States is not a dictatorship. It's three branches of government, and the Heritage Foundation has published new editions and since 1981. So the Mandate for Leadership of Conservative Promises is the ninth report of the series and was published in April 2023, earlier than the past releases. And they call it the Policy Bible. So, this is all madness. They want to institute a Muslim travel ban, that what was happening in the first administration of Trump, and efforts to install a new attorney general to assist him in attempting to overturning the 2020 elections, and when he called for lethal force against George Floyd protesters. So that's an example of getting the military out to quash any thing like that, where, somebody is murdered by the police, and, he uses the military to quash them and arrest them and throw them in prison and wherever else. So it's a 920-page report and everything. So, nearly half of the project's collaborating organizations have received dark money contributions from a network of fundraising groups linked to this guy named Leonardo Leo, a major conservative donor and a key figure in guiding the selection of Trump's federal judge nominees. So there you have it. In a nutshell, that's what 2025 is, Project 2025.
Yeah. And the other thing, David, Project 2025 is on our website. It's on the kitchenpolitics123.com website, and it's broken down. So you can go there and read it. It's there. Just click on the blog articles, and it's there. Mm-hmm. It's just Project 2025. So, and it's an easy read. And then you can share it as well. We need to share Project 25 to show people how insane these policies and how horrific they would be for the country and how they would just take our democracy and destroy it. You might as well set a map to it. That's what would happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's important. Like I said, just go to our website, and it's.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we're going to take calls, and when you call in, remember to say your first name and where you're calling from. Let's have a spirit of discussion on how we can keep democracy from turning into a theocracy and a dictatorship. So remember to join Kitchen Politics 123 on Facebook. We have a group page and also a community page where we'll post memes and we'll post different articles from different sources. You know, and it's growing in numbers as we're almost at 200 people who like the page, and even more mm-hmm. people on the Kitchen Politics 123 Facebook group. So mm-hmm. join us and let's, you know, talk there and share ideas. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
I guess you're talking to me, Elaine
yes.
from Michigan.
Oh,
hi, okay.
Okay.
Right now, all I've got to say is that I've caught the news on and off today, and Kitchen Politics 123 was ahead of the subject, but I'm happy to announce I have heard other broadcasts about this, about
mm-hmm.
Project 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People are there is a lot of the majority of us are getting very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason we're getting very concerned is we have that horrible Electoral College. And
mm-hmm.
The Orange Monster is already talking about a rigged election.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's already riling up his people. He's already telling them what to do. He has named the cities. He named Detroit. He named Philadelphia. He named Los Angeles. And it's not a coincidence. He named what is perceived to be a little bit over 50% to maybe 80% of different color of brown people or brown tan people, people
mm-hmm.
of color,
mm-hmm.
and he's riling up he's riling up his base, and that's
mm-hmm.
the part that's getting really, really serious.
Yeah, I don't think that we can express enough and say enough to make people understand that this time, this election is an election that you can't sit out. You know, we must be vigilant. We must share our thoughts. Today, The Atlantic put out an essay that they took 24 different things that Trump has said in the past, and they wrote about them. Get a copy
mm-hmm.
of it. Give it to other people because it is non-biased. It is non-biased. If you read it, it's non-biased. It's all it is just Trump saying what he's been saying, but it's in print. And I think it's an important tool to have that when someone is disagreeing with you, you can show them, look, he said this, and it's in quotes. Try to find, you can go on the internet, you can find the exact same quote, he said this. So, and I'm very happy that The Atlantic did this. I'm not sure if it's out yet. I know that I saw on the internet that they advertised it. It's their January, February article. So I don't know. I have to research that a little bit. So I just wanted to talk about that for a moment. And you're right, Elaine. He did mention today. It wasn't today, but he did mention on the 2nd of December in Iowa that you're right. He mentioned Detroit, Pennsylvania, Los Angeles, and he's telling them to, he's not saying, you know, like you said before, what did he say? Stand back and stand by. Yeah. He's not using those words, but he is basically saying, look, this election is going to be rigged. And so we need our people there to make sure that it's not rigged.
That's
you know?
The part that's scary. We need you there. We need our people there. That means that is a dog whistle for go to the polls and disrupt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. He did say Trump did not specify who he was asking to go into the battleground state city. A campaign aide was asked to clarify, said he was referring to poll watchers and volunteers whose objective would be to ensure a secure election. Now, we know that's not true.
Well, he also made the statement, we have to make sure that things don't fall on the floor, boxes don't get turned upside down, they pick the stuff up off the floor where it fell, they don't sort of sweep things into the box. I mean, he really was railing up the crowd.
Yes, he was.
I saw that segment.
Yeah, so like I said, we have to be vigilant. We have to pay attention. We need to sound the alarms. I'm sorry. I have gotten to the point now where I really see what could happen to this country, and I'm not ready to let it go like that. I'm just not. Not to this man. Not to Stephen Miller, too, because Stephen Miller, trust me, will be part of that administration, and that man is evil. He's got hatred in his heart. You can see it in his eyes. And he will be part of that administration. This time, it won't be lackeys there. It will be people that know what they're doing. They'll know how to take over the government. This is well planned. They'll know exactly what to do. And the plan is a 180-day plan to have it done. So no playing games anymore, people. It's time to realize that we have lots of work to do, lots of work to do.
After yesterday's program, I'd be terrified of his people. He's going to let them loose. And they're going to charge through. You'd be safer having a bunch of bulls run up and down your street.
Like I said, it's just, you know, unbelievable. I don't even have words for it anymore because it's just so, you know.
It is so serious. I saw the beginning of Rachel Maddow. Of course, I had to call him for the show. And she talked about how far apart in politics she is to Liz Cheney. Yet she respects Liz Cheney, and Liz Cheney respects her. And they both agree that politically they sit. One sits at one side of the table and the other sits at the other. But this is so serious that her and Liz Cheney on this issue are joined at the hip. That's my words, joined at the hip.
And, and you're absolutely right because they are polar opposites when it comes to politics and their fundamental beliefs in politics. They're polar opposites. And she did say that tonight because I watched that for a little bit. And she also said that she always wanted to have an interview with her and she thought she would never get the chance to interview her because they were so far apart in their ideologies and what they thought and et cetera. But they're coming together tonight for this reason. And it just shows you how important the issues are that we're facing, you know. And then we have a president right now sitting in office who's working every single day to try to keep America going. You know, our Black Friday, the sales were off the charts. You know, so people are spending money. Our economy is getting better. They also said people are saving. Inflation is down a little bit. So things are coming around. You know, we can't expect miracles, so we have to be patient. And everyone is, you know, we're not patient people. We want everything yesterday, but we have to be patient. And we have to trust the Biden administration. It isn't just President Biden that does things by himself. He has got a team of specialists that are awesome, that are intelligent, and they know what they're doing, and we can see that. So let's just try to focus on not allowing Trump to ever step into any sort of office ever again.
We definitely have to focus, because the propaganda machine has really damaged a lot of folks out there. A lot of people that you would expect to be decent people. There also was an interview, the man on the street interview, and he said he was interviewing, not Trumpies, he was interviewing people in New York that came to New York for Christmas. And they were talking about the war on Christmas, that the president, Trump, open their eyes to, and in the background are Christmas trees and jingle bells and Santa standing there ringing their bells for donations, and you couldn't get, and they looked like sensible people, they sounded like sensible people, but they have been so brainwashed that they're standing there in the middle of a Christmas celebration in the middle of New York with all the lights flashing, and they're talking about a war on Christmas.
How are
you? You know, a sensible people who haven't been brainwashed, we have to make sure that we get out to vote. If you have to crawl to the polls, we have got to get out to vote.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, another concern is that Project 2025 would revive the early American spoils and patronage system, where the government awarded jobs to those loyal to the party and to elected officials rather than a basis of merit. So that was put an end to in the Pendleton Act of 1883, where it mandated that federal jobs be awarded on merit and experience. You know, so Trump, former advisor Steve Bannon, has advocated the plan on his War Room podcast, where, you know, he wants to get rid of the Pendleton Act of 1883 and go back to the old system. I remember back in the day when Boss Tweed, he was, I think, the governor of New York or chairman from the Democratic Party, and that was so corrupt and everything. You know, so we can't go back to that system, you know, where, you know, you're a good party person and a political loyalist, and you have no experience in what you're doing, but yet still you put people in places that have no idea what they're doing. We cannot have that in America. And it's really scary, because a lot of big prominent people come out against this Project 2025, and basically it's designed to let Donald Trump function as a dictator and completely eviscerate many of the restraints built in the current political system. So the rule of law will be gone, and Trump, you know, he's preparing to do a bunch of things totally contrary to the basic values that we have always lived by for hundreds of years. And if Trump were to be elected and to implement some of these ideas, he's apparently considering, like he said, he spoke out about what he hopes to do. No one in this country would be safe, even if you vote Republican, if you're a conservative, if you're evangelical, they don't give a damn. You know, what's bad for the liberal and the progressive and the Democratic Party is bad for all, you know. So, you know, we'll have to keep that in mind and everything. So I have another caller calling in from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Go ahead, Laurie, you were saying something.
I was going to say, you're absolutely right. You know, we have to pay attention, just like, you know, we have to pay attention. We have to understand that our democracy is on fire. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Our democracy is on fire. And we got to get out.
And imagine politicizing the Department of Justice and using the FBI as an instrument for revenge.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That's KGB shit, you know?
Yeah. Yes,
and Trump and his right-wing media have planted in fertile soil the seed that the current Justice Department has been politicized, which is not. If anything, it was politicized when he was in power. And the myth is now flourishing because people refusing to stop watching Fox News and listen to other sources of information, because I think it's a deep state, and as a caller from Minnesota last night was saying that, oh, you know, corporate media. So what's this Fox News, a corporate media whore as well? Because they're not even a media organization. As Elaine said, it's an entertainment channel. And that's why Canada and other countries refuse to let Fox News in the country because it's just entertainment and pure bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get this caller now from Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Hey.
Hi.
I'm good.
Hi.
It's Khalil.
Hi. Hi, Khalil.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm good. I'm going to the capital of Virginia in January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's going to be about gun violence.
Okay, great.
And it's going to, I'm going to read a poem there, and I'm hoping that everything goes well.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's great news.
What is the reason?
It's about gun violence.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, am I proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
What inspired you to do that?
The fact that most people who oppose gun control, not all, but most people who oppose gun control, they tend to be about themselves. They don't care about actual people's safety.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, because you can't, they're not content with their rights. They don't even want someone destroying their own firearm, even if it's to keep it out of the hands of a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you.
You know, Khalil, why is it every time that when there's a mass shooting or school shooting, Republicans are said thoughts and prayers? Thoughts and prayers hasn't saved anybody. And where they so close to the hip with the NRA, you know, if they really care, they'd actually try to do something about it. But no, they'd rather, you know, save their political careers and not care about the majority of people who they claim to represent. So if you were a member of Congress, whether a U.S. Senator or a U.S. Congressman, and you're in a seat of leadership, you know, what would you do as an elected official to try and stop this senseless gun violence that's, you know, going around in America? What would be your suggestion?
I basically tell them, you know, if you don't want gun control, if you want gun control that's racist and you want to ban police from, you don't want police militarized, then we got to have an equal playing field. We can't just have you guys have all what you want and then be not content with your rights.
Yeah. And Naz from Georgia last night was making the point that, you know, gun laws would change, you know, would change if, you know, a whole lot of African-Americans and other minorities would go out there and buy guns. And what white people from the MAGA crowd is doing is like when you go grocery shopping or if you go even to simply a Starbucks, you know, you see them strapping with AR-15s around their shoulders or AK-47s or whatever. You know, so it's like basically a penis extension, these people, you know, carrying on with their guns and everything. Why would you want to carry a loaded gun inside a supermarket? You know, well, obviously, you know, that you have some inferiority complex. And what are you without a gun? There's no necessity, for example, to have an AR-15 as a weapon of war. And, you know, there are a lot of claims and past shows that, oh, you know, I need an AR-15 to go hunting. An AR-15 lets off so many rounds in 1 minute flat. That deer or whatever you're hunting will be shred to pieces. So that argument there is nil and void, you know?
Yeah, and,
so,
then, like, what you said about the Black Panther Party, that's why I'm reading my poem. It's to say, you know, you don't want something that's going to actually help people. Don't support something that actually harms people. You know, if you want gun laws that harm people, then support them if they help people. Don't be just about your rights. Matter of fact, I told this guy, I don't know if I told you before, I told this guy, I was saying, what is your agenda if you don't want gun control? If you don't want gun control for yourself, but you want it when it's racist? Because the guy said stupid to not allow mentally ill people to have guns, but he, in his opinion, he thought that they should ban Muslims from guns. I'm like, if this is your, I was questioning his motive, but he really mm-hmm. sat back and he thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm not crazy about people who oppose gun control when they don't oppose it righteously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so former President Trump has hit the 2024 campaign trail and has given voters a preview of what a second Trump presidency could look like if he's elected. So he's made many campaign promises, many of which are often vague and lacking in details or specifics, including ending the war in Ukraine, building 10 new cities, and giving drug smugglers the death penalty. So here are some of the policies he says he would enact if he's elected for a second term. Laura, you want to start?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Drug cartels. The drug cartels are waging war on America, and it's now time for America to wage war on the cartels, Trump said in a January campaign video. If elected, Trump said in November of 22, campaign announcement that he would ask Congress to ensure that the drug smugglers and the human traffickers can receive the death penalty for their heinous acts. The former president also vowed to take down drug cartels by imposing naval embargoes on cartels, cutting off cartels' access to global financial systems, and using special forces within the Department of Defense to damage the cartels' leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should start with his Russian oligarchs giving money.
Yes, he should. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what he should.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because a lot of his friends, like, for example, I don't know what the hell happened. Terrible feedback. I don't know if anybody is hearing it.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So on the education front, Trump said, "When I'm president, we'll put parents back in charge and give them the final say." He sent this in a January campaign video, speaking about education, and the former president said he would give funding preferences to favorable treatment schools that allow parents to elect principals. That's so absurd. Elect principals.
He can't even elect he's crazy.
And he wants to abolish teacher tenure from K to 12, use merit pay to incentivize quality teaching and cut the numbers of school administrators such as those overseeing diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. So again, you know, if somebody is transgender, LGBTQ, they're left out in the cold and bullied and mocked and ridiculed to the point where some of them, you know, want to commit suicide because of who they are. You know, so again, it's full of hate and rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And this favorable treatment he wants to give people, like parents, you know, is a no-go because, as we all know, in the recent past election, off your election, where Mothers for Liberty or Moms for Liberty, you know, all their candidates, not one of them was successful. And
nope.
So he wants people like them to go in positions of power and just, like, really, you know, destroy education, basically.
Yeah.
So
it's
moving on.
Abolish the education, you know, the education system. Just abolish it.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do.
And Trump also said that in a campaign video that he would cut funding for schools that teach critical race theory. No school is doing that, goddammit. And gender ideology, that's rubbish, you know?
It is. Yep.
And in a later speech, Trump said that he would bring back the 1776 Commission, which was launched in a previous administration to, quote, teach our values and promote our history and our traditions to our children, meaning they'll whitewash history, basically.
Yep. That's a joke.
Yeah,
it's a real
joke.
He would charge the Department of Justice and the Department of Education with investigating civil rights violation of race-based discrimination in schools while also removing Marxists from the Department of Education. There's no Marxists in the Department of Education. You see, again, with this making up bullshit and people, like, you know, sucking it up like it's religion, you know? So, you know, I dread the second Trump administration would pursue violations in schools of both the Constitution's establishment and free exercise clauses, which prohibit the government establishment of religion and protecting a citizen's right to practice their own religion. So it has to be Christian or nothing at all. And he wants to put the Ten Commandments in schools. You know?
Yeah.
So, again, what Nas was saying from Georgia, Nas, that in 1952, when Ike was president, it went to the Supreme Court, prayers in schools and everything, public schools, and the Supreme Court went against it because not everybody's Christian, you
know? That's right.
So these past victories these past victories are being refought and everything, and we need to move on as a country. You know, these conservatives and religious people have no business, or, you know, the religious people have no business in politics.
You know,
David,
I really wonder, are they really religious people? Or are they just hiding behind the word, you know, religious or, you know, Christian? Because, you know, last night, the caller that we had last night, I mean, he's off the chain. He really thinks that he has the right to tell other people what to do with their body, what to do with their children in school. You know, he, and then I, you know, when I asked him, you know, why can't you just mind your own business and stay in your own house and take care of your own family? And he said, because God, Jesus Christ chose him to, you know, tell other people. Really?
Crusade. To crusade. He used the word crusade.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, we don't need lunatics like that. We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone just... Mind your own business, mind your own family, take care of your family, be nice to your friends, be nice to your neighbors, you know, be kind, be courteous, you know, and this country would go along just fine.
Mm-hmm.
It would go along just fine on a daily basis. We would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
We have this, you know, destroying or trying to destroy the fiber of our country. So let's go on gender fair.
Laurie and David, has Trump said anything about dismantling the FBI?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he did. I just wanted to double check.
Yeah.
I've got a local newspaper in my hand. And there is a summit, the 8th, which is this week. And it's run by the Grace Christian Church.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Now, my heart is just pounding. End child I'm just shaking. And trafficking. Get in the fight. Your child needs you today. The first guest trainer, are you ready? General Mike Flynn.
You're kidding.
Wow.
No, it's not
You're
funny.
Kidding.
That's not
You're
funny. This
You're
is
kidding.
Scary.
Where is this Grace Church?
On, you want the address?
Not
I've got
really.
The paper
I just
in front of me, so it must be public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
33801 Van Dyke, Sterling Heights, Michigan. He is the first guest speaker, trainer.
Oh, my
Summit
goodness.
Panel
what,
speakers.
What
General Mike Flynn, Laura Logan.
Oh, my Lord.
Trace
what?
Lee, I can't see that. Rhodes. Somebody Jones. Somebody Dolan. The print is fuzzy in this newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the last person is Cox or Box.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this called?
Blurry.
It's
multiple
it
training programs offered for individual parents, first responders, business owners, healthcare and hospitality professionals, and survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
This is scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is very – what paper is that in?
It's the little Macomb daily paper that they throw in your driveway.
Oh. Okay.
It's
is that
the one that's about four pages.
Is that in Sterling Heights?
Yeah, this is in Sterling Heights. Do they throw any papers in your driveway?
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking if Grace Church is in Sterling Heights.
Oh, yeah, Grace Church is in Sterling Heights because it's the zip code is 48312.
Okay.
Van Dyke, Sterling Heights.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture it.
I'm not familiar. I just wanted to look, I'm going to look it up and see if they have anything posted about it. and this is the thing.
Well, exploitation, that's the word I couldn't get out.
So
sex
why
traffic.
Is the church?
I mean, we have an FBI. We have a very good
right.
police force in Sterling Heights.
Yes.
They have
yes.
caught a lot of people.
Yes.
And Lacido, who's a Republican, claims that he's on the ball. Why do we need this? What in the hell is going on?
Well, and the thing that bothers me is that this is a church, right, Grace?
Yes, a church. I think maybe we ought to start taxing them since they seem to be sticking their nose in everything.
Yeah, why is the church involved in something like that? Aren't they supposed to just teach, you know, the teachings of the Bible or, you know, do their thing that way instead of getting involved in things that they have no business in? And Mike Flynn, of all people in the world, he's the scum of the earth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff. Scary stuff, Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Not a joke. So let's talk about
the Michigan program, America's Future.
Is that what it's called?
This group is called America's Future. Well, they catch these good little titles, don't they? America's Future. Destroy the schools. I can't even think. I'm just shaking. I happen to pick up the paper, and there it is.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's And let's see. I never knew that.
I'll take a picture of it, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Sounds great. I mean.
Do you want it now, or can I do it later?
No, later. Yeah.
Okay,
because
I picked this up, and it hit me between the eyes, and I'm shaking.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So let's go on now to gender care.
This church will do, that will be their next seminar.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I will revoke every Biden policy promoting the chemical castration and sexual mutilation of our youth and ask Congress to send me a bill prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states, Trump said at the 2023 Conservative Political Action Conference in March. Trump added in a campaign video that he would issue an executive order instructing federal agencies to cut programs that promote gender transition, as well as asking Congress to stop the use of federal dollars to promote and pay for gender-affirming procedures. The former president added that his administration would not allow hospitals and health care providers to meet the federal health and safety standards for Medicaid and Medicare if they provide chemical or physical gender-affirming care to youth. Now, first of all, why would Medicare provide chemical or physical gender-affirming care to youth? Medicare has nothing to do with that, first of all. And this is insane. Insane.
Yeah,
insane thing that I received through the mail?
It's crazy. Yeah, it sounds
Hillsdale College. which is located in Hillsdale, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Inside the transgender empire, I received information on that, how I can contact Hillsdale College. And they have Christopher F. Rufoff, R-U-F-O, one of the people. Oh, he's got a bachelor's of science.
This
whole pamphlet is devoted to transgender empire.
Yeah.
Wow. When does transgender become an empire?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, look, again, buzzwords, dog whistles.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
David, what were you going to say about gender care? Did you something to
say
about
it? Yeah, just like
it?
With the call last night with Mike from Minnesota, there's no school who does transgender operations that kids under 18 go through the surgery such as that, even if their parents want it. In California and Washington State, I looked it up. He was asking me to look it up to show. There's so much things going on around here. You know, I looked it up finally, and you're talking about it, but there are protections against children under 18 years old. You know, so you have to go through a rigorous, what's that noise? You have to go through rigorous, you have to go through a rigorous psychology thing with a psychologist, you know, and talk about it. So you're sure, absolutely positive that this is what you want to do. That's for people
the other thing is that, you know, doing something like that, you know, has got to take a lot of thought, a lot of courage. And I'm just not sure that many, you know, you have to be desperate almost, I would say, or have that feeling that you're not, you know, you look like a woman, but you don't feel like one. I mean, it has to be a feeling inside of you that you know something is wrong. And that has to be a horrible feeling. I can't imagine going through life knowing or feeling, you know, like you don't belong in your own body. You know what I'm trying to say? So, you know, let people live. They have a right to live. They're not hurting anybody. Doing it to themselves, it's their own decision. If they're adults, what does it matter? I just don't get it.
Yeah, LGBTQ people. They need more protection because according to conservatives, they're going out there and teaching, the sinful lifestyle and the raping youth and things like that, which is rubbish, ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
No LGBTQ person I know go out there and rape children or try to groom them to be gay. You're either born gay or born straight or born bisexual.
Yeah.
Worry about you.
Hello, can I say something?
Somebody's sexuality.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. There's a juvenile a long time ago, and his mom kicked him out in the street because he was gay. He wasn't even engaging in any. He wasn't engaging in any sex, but because of his sexual preference, he was a homeless youth, and. Basically, she just decided she was going to kick him out, and he got beat up by a skinhead. And basically, the skinhead turned around, and he learned. And my mom, she sounded like she was mad because she said that was her responsibility to take care of her son.
Of course.
And basically, the way I feel about the transition thing, it shouldn't be fully, you know, it should be up to the parents, but at the same time, it shouldn't be up to the state. It shouldn't be up to the state like the way the guy is, because basically, even if they are kids, as far as something like if their parents say something, it's one thing. Like I said, you know, even if it's a kid trying to transition as, you know, wanting to be man or woman, if the parent says yes, it shouldn't be the state's business.
No, it's not business. You know, if they go through all the proper steps you know, the counseling, you know, having understanding what's happening, go through it all, and that's their decision, then it's no one else's business. It really is not.
I don't know what's going on in the phone.
Yeah, I don't
either.
Yeah, it's
clicking and snapping. It's been doing it the whole broadcast.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, I don't know what it's from.
Also, one of the other things that bothered me is basically the whole thing that happened last night was a little bit crazy, because basically the guy that came on later, at first he sounded like he was good, but then he started to not make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we made the decision that we're not allowing those kind of callers anymore, because, you know, we are on a different mission. And those kind of people, there is nothing that you can do to save them. I mean, they feel
right.
Like they save you. Like, you know, like we're the bad guys and they want to save us, you know, because they are supposedly our Christian people, you know, they can go around and save the world, which they don't even do. So, yeah. So we've decided that's a waste of time and their time.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
No more. Let's go on to Clark.
Yes. Yes,
can I,
Trump
Lori, there's one other thing I want to read on that came from Hillsdale.
Okay.
These religious right do not have the right to go out there and lie. Essay titled Transgender Marxism, activist writer Rosalie argues that trans people can serve the new vanguard, promising to abolish heterosexuality in the same way the orthodox Marxism promise to abolish capitalism. Can you believe that bullshit?
Oh, my
that
Lord.
That is a blatant-ass lie.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Yeah, Hillsdale is very crazy. I wouldn't want to live in that city. I've heard about it.
Oh, this is, all of a sudden they're sending me this literature. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know why either.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also,
David, want to the next one?
Okay, yes. So Trump, in a campaign video, he said it in two videos, that if Marxist prosecutors refuse to charge crimes and surrender our cities to violent criminals, that he will not hesitate to send in federal law enforcement to restore peace and public safety. So this guy is talking on both sides of his mouth, because why didn't he do that on January 6, 2021? It was a goddamn insurrection. It was his people, not goddamn tourists, that went there and shit in the halls of Congress and wiped the smearing shit all over the walls. Went into Nancy Pelosi's office. Went into, the threatened Democrats and people who were there, you know, as Congress, elected Congress people and senators. And literally, they had to run for their lives. You know, so when he's talking about law and order, he's a hypocrite and a fool. So Trump added that he would instruct the Department of Justice to open civil rights investigations into the radical left prosecutors that engage in racial enforcement of the law, encourage Congress to use their legal authority over Washington, D.C. to restore law and order and overhaul federal standards of discipline, disciplining minors to address rising crimes like carjackings. So addressing policies made in what Trump calls the Democrats' war on police. There's no war on police, okay? And the former president vowed in a campaign video that he would pass a record investment to hire and retrain police, strengthen protections like qualified immunity, increase penalties for assaulting law enforcement officers and deploying the National Guard when law enforcement refuses to act. So, again, he wants to bring out the National Guard to quell all protests and everything. And he wants civil penalties for assaulting law enforcement officers. Tell that to his people that assaulted law enforcement officers on January 6th. Qualified immunity. So somebody could not have a gun And because they're wrong skin color and wrong gender, the police shoot them, and that would qualify mm-hmm. them for qualified immunity. So Trump, again, being a racist and a Nazi, mm-hmm. want to put this this thing into being when he gets a second term. So he added that he would require law enforcement agencies that receive money from this funding investment or the Department of Justice to use proven common sense measures such as stop and frisk, which is also mm-hmm. racist because Rudy Giuliani, when he was mayor, had a stop and frisk program. And coincidentally or not, you know, a lot of African Americans were stopped and frisked.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
So goddamn, again, racism coming in again from Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, at the event, the insurrection event, it was a shame. And I was just wondering, because I've seen some guys, and I'm just curious, is it our fast to question mm-hmm. as far as that's concerned?
What was the question?
Who were those guys? Was some of those guys in the dress in the that were dressed in suits on the floor that had their guns drawn? Were some of those FBI? The ones in the suits.
I don't know.
You mean that was in the insurrection
when they were trying to break into the chamber? Yes, those were FBI.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
They were protecting the chamber.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that
Thank
woman
you.
Got shot because she broke
Ashley
through
Bobbitt.
that window going into the chamber, and she was crawling through, and he yelled for her to stop, and she continued on.
Yep.
And
that's
where that woman got killed.
Her name is Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt, she was part of the Air Force. She was retired, a Trump loyalist and a MAGA supporter. And even though the Secret Service, the Capitol Police told her to stop and back away, she broke the glass, trying to go in there, so they shot her.
Yeah.
And now she's a martyr for the right, saying that, oh, you know, look at that, they murdered the woman. It wasn't murder.
Yep.
She was warned when you see the video time and time again, you know, back off, back off. But no, she didn't. So she got shot, she died, and good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yep.
But it's really crazy how when it happened, you had people that supported them, but they don't support actual people who are, like, not victims, but actual people who are actual fighting for our rights. Like, I don't know if you heard about this, but do you remember Tea Party and Occupy DC?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, basically, people were, I was telling someone, you protest against the big old banks and Wall Street, you're told to get a job, but they would rather you protest against immigrants than protest against people than Wall Street, because one of them, someone even said that online, why don't they protest against the immigrants instead of the big banks? Because in their opinion, if in the twisted minds of some people, you protest against immigrants, you're a patriot. But you protest against greedy banks, you're told to get a job. And I believe that's like the work of some people that just want us to be focusing on the wrong thing. Even before that, I noticed that, you know, people could be protesting against banks, they're told to get a job by random people. But if you protest against immigrants, because of the status, you're not told to get a job. Basically, it's a double standard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And you know,
yes,
the funny part is
it's just playing upon people's fears, the xenophobia that is rampant in this country now. Not caused by Donald Trump, because it was there before, but because Trump was elected president, it's now pronounced, you know. And
it sure is.
Trump gave these people permission to be openly racist and hostile to people who are not like them, who may speak a different language, you know, who may not be Christian. You know, the Islamophobia that's going on now is frightening. You know, the KKK and white nationalist movements have skyrocketed, you know, since Joe Biden assumed the presidency. You know, they want to instigate a second civil war. you know, mm-hmm. based on race, based on religion. And that's why religion is bad, because, again, how can you be a religious person but want a war? You know, that's
exactly.
that makes no sense. Last question,
yeah,
what would Jesus do?
Yeah. I mean, you're right, David. I mean, if you're going to be violent and kill people and threaten to kill people, then you're not a Christian, or you're not, you know, a Catholic, or you're not a Protestant. You're a murderer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just throw it all away, because
mm-hmm.
your religion is garbage. You know, you don't
exactly.
honor your own religion, you know.
Exactly.
And the other thing I was thinking about was that we have, you know, things that we've been reading. I just wonder who is the mastermind that tells Trump what to talk about, because I really don't think he's smart enough to put any of this together. I don't even think he knows
mm-hmm.
how the government works. I really
mm-hmm.
I really don't think he does. And I would just like to know who the mastermind is behind all of this, you know, telling him
mm-hmm.
to go out and say these certain things, you know. I would love to know who it is. I truly would. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, probably a host
of
people
it,
like Stephen Miller.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess. He was mentioned today, and I wonder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on
yes,
to foreign policy. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just about to bring that up.
Oh, okay. You can then. Go ahead.
Okay, so shortly after Trump claimed that he'll win the presidency again, he claims that he'll put a stop within one day of this horrible war between Russia and Ukraine and get it settled. He said it in New Hampshire at a campaign event, adding in another speech that would have taken no longer than one day to settle the war if elected. So Trump offered no details, as usual, on how he would end this war in Ukraine. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we all know that he's beholden to Putin and the Kremlin and Russia,
mm-hmm.
kind of have his secrets and everything. So Trump further addressed his strategy on stopping the never-ending wars by vowing to remove warmongers, frauds, and failures in the senior ranks of our government. Who's more fraudulent and warmongering than Republicans? Henry Kissinger died the other day. He was 100. May he his soul burn in eternal hell. He was a Republican Secretary of State under Nixon and Gerald Ford. You know, so not saying Democrats are innocent and clean, but you know, historically, Republicans are the one who always love pushing war. You know,
mm-hmm.
the most recent war in memory was when George Bush and Dick Cheney led us into a war that, you know, spanned 20 years, not $1 trillion.
Yep. Yep.
Knowing full well that there was no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and Iraq had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, you know, driving those two planes in the World Trade Center. So
well,
on part
you know,
of gullibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I remember that, and I remember listening to, you know, President Bush at the time, you know, come on. And I was convinced that, and I'm, you know, and I'm definitely not a Republican. And I was convinced that, you know, maybe there were, you know, weapons of mass, you know, destruction. And, but
mm-hmm.
it was funny because as time went on, I started to question it, because it just seemed like, well, where are these, you know, weapons of mass destruction? Because they haven't found any yet. And it was, you know, and it was a slow, for myself, it was a slow figuring out thing. I, you know,
mm-hmm.
I never thought that a president and a vice president would just start a war over oil. That's basically what it was, right? And
mm-hmm. yes.
So that was a new experience for me. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, I couldn't believe it.
What was Scott Ritter? Scott Ritter, the UN inspector who, you know, was one of the leaders inspecting to see if Iraq had chemicals and weapons of mass destruction,
mm-hmm.
came
yep.
out bluntly and said there are no weapons of mass destruction.
Yep.
Other countries, the United Nations, said there was no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
You know, the experts said there was no weapons of mass destruction.
No, they never found anything.
Yeah, so I think the passions were too high after 9/11, where people just wanted blood. That's understandable. But again, historically, Republicans are liars and they love pushing war. The military-industrial complex. Eisenhower, when he left office, before leaving office, said that we'll have to keep an eye on this military-industrial complex because it's going to turn into such a big beast and giant that it's uncontrollable and unstoppable. I'll give an example. Why is it that you need a spare part for a helicopter, for example, and suppose that spare part costs $500 with no regulations and there's no competition, basically, because there's just two companies that provide, Lockheed Martin, and I don't know what the next one's name.
Yeah.
You know, and that $500 part turned $50,000.
Yep.
This is what's happening with the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're right. Yes, it is. It definitely is. I know. It's exhausting, but we still
I remember when Schwarzkopf went to Iraq to stop the burning of the oil fields because that was it was just plain dangerous what was going on. His mission was to stop the oil fields from going up. It was polluting the whole earth, number one. And I remember when he said, "I'm bringing my boys home." And he was asked to stay. He said, "No, you asked me to do something. I stopped all the burning. The wells are fine. I'm coming home." And he did. Now, that was, I think, the last time we saw this country work right.
Probably. Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty sick. You know, that we have to go through. And we're, this country, you know, is at peace, basically. We don't have, you know, foreign enemies that are attacking us or anything like that. And but yet we have an internal war in this country. You know, we have division. We have hate. We have, you know, all these, you know, crazy people all around. I don't know what else to call them anymore. I really don't. Because if you don't see the light after all these years, you know, just like I told last night to the caller, I said, you would vote for someone, he's a Christian, you would vote for someone that has 91 indictments, 91 indictments. Yeah, he would vote for him. So how do you put those two things together? You know, the moral side of it and then, you know, making it right. I mean, it's sickening. I don't understand the logic because there isn't any logic, you know, and this is what we're fighting against. No logic. And there's no talking to these people. There is no talking to them.
Yeah.
Their brain is
closed. And we thank Khalil for calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia. He had to
yeah,
and everything.
We do.
And a special hello to Angry Soccer Mom in New York. You should check out her channel on YouTube. Just type in Angry Soccer Mom. She has great content where she speaks about race relations in America and women's rights and gay rights and the rights of minorities and immigrants. You know, it's a good thing that she has. She took a little break, and now she's back and everything. I want people listening out there to support her because it has great content. It's not those long-ass videos that last two,
yeah,
3 hours. Well, a couple of them is. But a couple of them are, but, you know, generally, she have little snippets that last 2-3 minutes. So I think it's really enjoyable, and I think people would enjoy it. Just type in Angry Soccer Mom in YouTube, and the content will come up. Yeah, support this woman. You know, she's putting her heart and soul in it. And it's not about a Democrat-Republican thing, but
no,
it's about an American thing, about inclusion, about acceptance, about growing as a nation. You know, coming out of the 1920s and into the 2000s, you know, because what's happening now, we'll fight these battles already. It feels like we're in the 1920s, you know, and conservatives have been wrong on the wrong side of history. And it's like they never learn. They keep continuing doing the same thing, expecting different results. And you know what? You can vote for an 80-year-old Democrat in 2024 and be able to vote again in 2028. or you can vote for a 78-year-old loser who's a Republican in 2024 and never be able to vote again. Why? Because Donald Trump believes that he belongs there for life. He believes things that are, you know, totally horseshit. You know, that he's entitled to the presidency. He's entitled to be president for life. We can't allow that to happen. George Washington, you know, right down to Gerald Ford, you know, turning in the graves now as to see what, you know, America's turned into. We're supposed to be getting better as a nation, but because people like Donald Trump and a racist and misogynist who support him, you know, it just, it feels like it's getting worse. And the thing about it is minority. They are, they make up a minority. But because of the media, you know, well, not really media, but people like Fox News and right-wing media in this country, you know, like, you know, carnival barking, you know, it's ridiculous. And when somebody who lives outside of America says that they believe all Americans are reckless cowboys like these morons, you know, we're not like, the majority of Americans are not like this.
No, we're not. No, we're not. We're all decent, hardworking people that love our families, have our friends, and just want to live our lives. And then we have this other group of people, these MAGA Republicans, you know, and the only reason Trump is running for president, and we all know that the reason is so he can probably, you know, basically stay out of prison. That's his whole goal. You think he cares about this country? Do you think he really understands what we've been reading tonight? Do you think he really put these policies into words? No. And I wouldn't believe that even for $1 million. I would not believe it. So,
yeah,
you know,
and you know what? Today's GOP is like Seinfeld. They've turned a party of nothing. You know, because that's what Seinfeld, the TV show, is about. It was about nothing, really. You know, and the GOP is the same way. But worse, because people are dying, you know, people are being threatened, you know. The women's rights have come a long way since the 1920s when they got the right to vote and everything. And now the Supreme Court and a majority of conservatives trying to roll back those. We see it with Roe versus Wade. What next? You know, interracial marriages, you know. They want to go after gay marriage next. What the hell? So we're regressing instead of progressing. And conservatism is failure. It's just trickle-down economics has never worked. Since Herbert Hoover days, back in those days, I never have a word for it. You know? And then especially in the 1960s when JFK assumed to the presidency, ascended to the presidency, sorry, you know, people like Fred Koch, Charles and David Koch's father, you know, went after him. And the religious right came in, and everything just turned upside down thereafter. So from 1960s right till now is that they've been going at it nonstop. You know, even though their policies have been proven to be failures, people still vote for them. That's what I can't understand. You know, people
and, you know,
in Kentucky.
The other thing... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, people in Kentucky, the South, the Bible Belt, is that they never learn, you know?
No.
Well, I digress.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, you're right. They do not, and they don't learn their lesson. They don't understand that, you know, these Republicans in their states are not passing policies and laws and, you know, creating jobs for them and, you know, better health care for them and, you know, fixing their roads for the people there. You know, they just, they don't get it. You know, they just think, they just, you know, I'm a Republican, and I'm a Republican, and I'm a Republican, and that's it. And they don't realize that the Republican Party of yesterday is dead today. It's gone. It's a shamble. It's gone. It has disappeared. It's been taken over by these MAGA right-wing crazy evangelist nut jobs. I don't even know how else to put it anymore. I mean, how can you not, you know, how can you not understand what we're going towards? I mean, you know, someone said today that now is the time if you watch politics, if you're not a person that, you know, turns on the TV because, oh, politics just turns you off because, you know, oh, they're all liars. Because of what's happening in our country right now, we have to pay attention. Everyone has to pay attention. It has to be shoved down their throats because they have to understand why we have to vote for Democrats, even though maybe they don't want to vote for a Democrat. But you have to this time to save our democracy. This one time, you have to do that. You have to do that.
Yes. Yeah, before we move on, I want to give a special shout-out to a former major in the United States Army. He turned 77 years old today. And, you know, he lives in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He served honorably. And today is his birthday. Henry Fitz from North Carolina. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And wish him many more.
Oh, I know Henry Fitz.
Yes.
Hi, Henry Fitz.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Awesome.
Yes. Looking good at 77.
I know
who
he is, too. Happy birthday, Henry.
I wish I looked like him when I turned 77.
Got a very pretty, very pretty wife.
He's a good. Okay, let's go on to New City's flying cars. Trump said in multiple campaign videos that he would spearhead an effort to build freedom cities, to reopen the frontier, reignite American imagination, and give hundreds of thousands of young people and other people, all hardworking families, a new shot at home ownership and, in fact, the American dream. In his plan, the federal government would charter 10 new cities on federal land, awarding them to areas with the best development proposals. The former president said in a campaign video that the freedom cities would bring the return of U.S. manufacturing, economic opportunity, new industries, and affordable living. In the March video, Trump added that the U.S. under the second Trump administration would lead in efforts to develop vertical takeoffs and landing vehicles for families and individuals, not letting China lead this revolution in air mobility. The former president said these airborne vehicles would change commerce and bring wealth to rural communities. That's
airborne
interesting.
Airborne vehicles, how are they powered?
Fairy
dust.
Yeah, they're fairy dust. Maybe fairy dust, you know?
Yeah, if anybody who believes that, I have a unicorn to sell you. I have some nice unicorn meat. It's better than chicken.
Exactly.
Which is rubbish.
Exactly.
And, you know, he didn't expand on it. You know, he just says something to grab the whole of the MAGA people who is not highly educated and they have no critical thinking. You know, so this American dream is a farce, you know? The American dream, to them, people like them, is that have a white majority who, you know, browbeat people that are not like them, you know, and flying cars, that's crazy.
I know.
You know, it may not
maybe
be far off, but, you know.
Maybe he was watching the reruns of the Jetsons.
Yeah. God, this man belongs in a deep, dark cell somewhere under the prison.
Yeah.
And I should beat the crap out of him every day and let Baba handle him. You know, so don't drop the soap, George Santos and Donald Trump, because Baba and his men will get you, hopefully.
Next
thing is the deep state. Trump said, when I'm president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. So he said this in a January video this year, to address the disturbing relationship between technology platforms and the government. Trump said that he would enact a 7-year cooling-off period before employees and agencies such as the FBI and CIA can work for platforms that oversee mass user data. So data mining. He wants to spy on Americans, what to watch, what to share, you know, what to surf on the Internet. And, you know, God, that's some KGB shit again. You know, our communist China. What the hell is happening? What is wrong with this man?
But David, think about this. Now, once again, do you think that he really thought that up himself? Do you really think
that?
No. Absolutely not. He has no idea. Mm-hmm. He's probably given something to read, and he just reads it, and he doesn't have a clue what it means. and what it's about. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the only thing. This man is not that intelligent. You can, you know, when he stands at those rallies and he starts, you know, talking about, you know, Obama, running against Obama, that gives you the idea that he's crazy. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't speak. He rambles. It makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, so continuing with this, so Trump added that multiple campaign releases that he would pass the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute online censorship regime, ban federal agencies from colluding to censor citizens, fire bureaucrats who are believed to be engaged in federal censorship, and suspend federal money to universities participating in censorship-supporting activities. It's not really censorship. When you preach hate and, you know, tell lies and everything, you know, that's not censorship. That's being responsible. Because free speech and hate speech are two different things. You can have free speech, yes, but when you have hate speech, consequences come with it. And that's what these universities are trying to avoid, where people like Charlie Kirk from Turning Points USA keep going to these colleges, and what's his name, Ben Shapiro and whoever else, Candace Owens. You know, these people talk through their asses, make shit up, not logical, and it's just spreading hate and disinformation. You know, so a thing like Twitter, I refuse to call it X, Twitter is the main ones to promote disunity and spread hate and giving a platform to white nationalists. You know, so if a thing like this should come in, which it's not going to, Twitter is the one who should be censored, because the amount of hate and the vitriol on that platform is ridiculous. Not to mention Facebook, you know. You said something and it wasn't even bad, and it's suspended for 7 days or 30 days or 90 days. When you go to these right-wing Facebook pages, the amount of hate towards Obama, towards Hillary, towards whoever who do agree with them, it's sickening. Mm-hmm. It's vomit-inducing. Yep. But yet still, when you say, hey, Facebook, what's this? So, oh, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
What about the false, you know, the president?
What about what?
The false information. It's the next
paragraph.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, the false information. The president would ban the use of taxpayer dollars to label any domestic speech as misinformation or disinformation, as well as stopping federal fundings of nonprofits and academic programs that study misinformation or disinformation.
Sick.
Mm-hmm. So censoring free speech again.
But you know what? Who's got the most free speech in this country right now? Him. Do you know that? He sure does. With all, you know, with all the threats that he's made. I mean, if it was you or me or Elaine or any citizen in this, any citizen, Khalil, any of us, if we, you know, got up, spoke the way he has spoke, we would be in prison waiting for trial.
Exactly.
You know. Here he is, you know, because he's running for president, in quotes, he gets to say what he wants. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. That's just not, it's not right. Mm-hmm. Do you think another country in the world would give as much leeway to someone running for a position in their country the way we have done to Trump and the destruction that we see that he's done? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that it's crazy here. It's just crazy. It's like they're afraid to, you know, put down the hammer on him. Put down the hammer on him. Be, you know, maybe he'll shut up then for a while. Maybe he'll shut up. I highly doubt it, though. I highly doubt it. Let's go on to trade. Under the proposed Trump Reciprocal Trade Act, the former president said other countries impose tariffs in the U.S. We charge them. an eye for an eye, a tariff for a tariff, same exact amount. Trump vowed in a campaign video to impose the same tariffs that other countries may impose on the U.S. and on those countries. The goal, the former president said, is to get other countries to drop their tariffs. As part of a larger strategy to bring jobs back to the U.S., Trump said he would also implement his first America First trade agenda if elected, setting universal baseline tariffs on a majority of foreign goods. The former president said Americans would see taxes decrease as tariffs. What does that have to do with one or the other? His proposal also includes a four-year plan to phase out Chinese imports of essential goods, as well as stopping China from buying up America and stopping the investment of U.S. companies in China.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not write that. He did not think about that. He knows nothing about that.
And the nerve of Donald Trump's America First, you know, where was his red hats and other Trump paraphernalia made in China?
Mm-hmm.
And when he tried the steel tariffs against China, it backfired spectacularly. You know, the steel industry in the United States, it went up so high that in Florida, the housing market, totally was nearly, you know, bankrupted because of this man, and it's still a tariffs on Chinese steel, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Nope.
And, you know, China and the United States since Richard Nixon days has had an agreement, economic agreement, an economic pact, you know, where, you know, we're trading each other and, you know, we want to have closer ties economically. And we owe so much money to China, you know. So this whole tariff, you know, eye-for-an-eye bullshit is not going to work. I was saw in his first administration where he tried to, you know, impose tariffs on China with steel, and it backfired. So he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, and so onto the economy. He said, with victory, we will again build the greatest economy ever. That was in a November campaign announcement, and I quote, "It will take place quickly. We will build the greatest economy ever." He didn't provide specifics again on policy proposals or explain how he would improve the economy. And Trump said that he would repeal Biden's tax hikes, immediately tackling inflation and end what he calls Biden war on America and energy production. So again, this asshole saying that Biden, you know, had tax hikes. He didn't have any tax hikes on anybody. You know, and when Trump was in there, when COVID hit, you know, in the last month of his term, jobs were being lost in record numbers. So when he's saying tackling inflation, he's just throwing red meat to base again. Because his friends on Wall Street is one who caused inflation because of COVID and the COVID recovery and everything. You know, and there's no Biden's war on American energy production. We have produced more energy and drilled more oil, you know, even more than Donald Trump. You know, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. Donald Trump is, again, delusional.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I don't know, we should mention, you know, gas prices have come down significantly. You know, and like I said before, they also said that, you know, inflation has come down a little bit. And, you know, the spending for Christmas has been phenomenal. Online spending has been phenomenal. So, you know, people are still cautious, but they're still spending money. And they're even some are even saving money. So what he would do is just put us in a black hole, basically. You know, we'd have a recession within minutes. So let's go to at CPAC, Trump promised to fire the unelected bureaucrats and shadow forces who have weaponized our justice system like it has never been weaponized before. Trump also said in a campaign video that he would reinstate a 2020 executive order to remove rogue bureaucrats and propose a constitutional amendment for term limits on members of Congress. Trump also pledged to appoint U.S. attorneys who will be polar opposites of the Soros district attorneys and others that are being appointed throughout the United States. The former president added on this message, vowing to end the reign of such investigations and district attorneys and overhaul the Department of Justice and the FBI. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically politicize the Justice Department to do his bidding. And turn the FBI into the KGB of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm.
So then we would have citizens getting bent out of shape, doing their investigations, not knowing what the hell they're doing because they aren't trained in it, and we'd have innocent people being killed.
Yep.
Or jail.
Going back to the seminar that is going to be going on in Sterling Heights, that's an FBI job done by trained people. And the Republican Party, even the ones that have quit and have decided to retire, can't they open up their mouths and tell the people the truth that the FBI is notoriously Republican?
Yep, they are. They truly
That's
are.
That's fact.
I know. But people forget.
And this thing about constitutional amendment for term limits for members of Congress. Okay. So Chuck Grassley in Iowa, he's 90 years old. Next time he's up for re-election. He's 96 years old. We had Dianne Feinstein, may her soul rest in peace. She was up there in the 90s. You know, a lot of them, you know, in Congress. So it's up to the people, you know, to term limit these people who are elected to Congress, whether as a senator or a congressperson, and not a constitutional amendment, because every 2 years is the midterm elections. And you have class one, class two, class three in the U.S. Senate. Our U.S. Senate is 6 years, so it varies. You know, it's up to the people who elect them. And the only way we can have quote-unquote term limits is if we stop having the gerrymandering districts where you have real competitive races. And the people can decide, hey, you know, you're in there, you know, you're doing corporate bidding. You're not for the will of the people or what the people want, so we get rid of you, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
And a big thing that would limit the powers of people in Congress is the dark money contributions. You know, we spoke about it in great length in other shows, Susie and Elaine especially, where, you know, the dark money, where you do a report where the money is coming from. Is it coming from China? Is it coming from Russia? Is it coming from, you know, Timbuktu? You know, where? You know, so take money out of politics and, you know, and give more power to the people who elect these people to Congress and even in state houses and state senates. That's how you give power back to the people to decide whether an elected official gets term limited or not. You know?
True.
Yeah,
true. Now we go on to the he said, well, I will take Biden's executive order directing the federal government to target the firearms industry, and I will rip it up and throw it out on day one, Trump said at the 2023 National Rifle Association Institute for Legislative Action Leadership Forum in April. The former president also promised in a speech that the government would not infringe on the citizens' Second Amendment rights and that he would push Congress to pass a concealed carry
reciprocity.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, reciprocity, meaning, you know, concealed carry in blue states. It's been abolished. You have to, you know, show your gun if you have, you know, a firearm and everything, and you have license, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no executive order directing the federal government to target firearm industry. What Biden and Democrats have been saying is that let's talk about having serious gun reforms, like red flag laws, background checks. You know, if you have a criminal record, you don't have business owning a gun. If you have domestic violence abuses against you, you cannot have a gun. If you're blind, for example, in Iowa, you have no right to own a gun. Why do blind people in Iowa have guns? That's ridiculous. You know, may as well put them in a car, give them drive on a highway. It makes no sense.
No, it's crazy. That is something I'll never understand. And, you know, I don't think Biden has made any executive orders directing the federal government to target the firearms industry. He has not done that.
Exactly.
So I don't know where that came out from. He has not done that.
And on equity.
Propaganda.
On equity. Yes, indeed. So Trump said, I will create a special team to rapidly review every action taken by federal agencies on the Biden's equity agenda. That will need to be reversed. We will reverse most of them, Trump said in a campaign video. But Trump added in multiple campaign videos that he would revoke Biden's equity executive order that requires federal agencies to deliver equitable outcomes in policy and conduct equity training. If elected, Trump said he would also fire staff was hired to implement Biden's policy and then reinstate his 2020 executive order banning racial and sexual stereotyping in the federal government.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That's pretty. Okay, let's go on to China. He went on to say, I quote, when I am president, I will ensure that America's future remains firmly in American hands, just as it did when I was president before. Trump said in a campaign video, Trump vowed to restrict Chinese ownership of U.S. infrastructure, such as energy, technology, telecommunications, and natural resources. The former president also said he would force the Chinese to sell current holdings that may put national security at risk. Economic security is national security, he said. Once again, that's not him talking. He has no idea what that means. He really doesn't. And like I said, I don't think
as always, he doesn't put any specifics to it. He just talks.
It's word salad. It's words. That's all it is. You're right.
On pharmaceuticals, he vowed in June in a campaign video to reinstate his previous executive order that the U.S. government would pay the same price for pharmaceuticals as other developed countries to, quote, end this global freeloading on American consumers for once and for all, end quote. So some of the former president's pharmaceutical policies were overturned by Biden, which was a good thing. And Trump said in the video that his administration would pay the best prices offered to other countries, who he said often pay lower pharmaceutical prices than Americans. This policy, Trump believes, would cause the pharmaceutical industry to raise prices for other countries while lowering costs in Americans. Yeah, that's bullshit right there, because one of the biggest contributors to his campaign was a pharmaceutical company. And if it wasn't for Biden and Democrats working out a deal where you pay $35 per month for certain drugs and everything, insulin, for example, you know, the Republicans were fighting against that. They wanted people to pay what? You know, if it's $30 for something, you know, they wanted to pay $250, $300 for a life-saving drug. You know, and you have to remember, the majority of the pharmaceutical companies back Republicans, just like NRA, just like the big tobacco, just like, you know, Wall Street people, basically. You know, not saying Democrats don't do it, because Joe Manchin is a prime example of a Democrat who, you know, have sponsorship from Big Pharma and whoever else, especially the coal industry. Yes, again, Trump lying through his teeth and don't know what he's talking about. Somebody write it, and he just, like, spews that nonsense.
Yeah, he does. He does. And President Biden is currently working with pharmaceuticals to negotiate low prices for drugs for Americans right now. That's what they're doing right now. That's what they're tackling. So, you know, he can put this in his pipe and Like I said, whoever wrote this is full of
crap.
He would not have written any of that. He doesn't understand when that is. He really doesn't. He's not smart
enough. Yeah, we'll have 10 minutes left and everything. If anybody want to call in, 515-605-9802. I'm not expecting any more calls, but, you know, we'll have 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So Liz Cheney said that democracy is at stake if Trump is reelected. She won the new book, and, you know, we're basically sleepwalking into dictatorship. And she's right, you know. We on the show never agree with Liz Cheney because she's such a right-winger. But we'll have to agree with her here where, you know, it's just dangerous to think that Donald Trump have the tenacity or the brain power to be even a dictator. They'll just pull him left and right and all over the place because, you know, he is just dumb. He's stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. He is only running away from justice. That's all. He's running away from what he's done, and he needs to go to prison. You know, 91 indictments got to go to prison. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You know,
his
number.
Yeah, well, I remember that Al Capone, he got one indictment and spent 7 years in prison. So imagine 91 indictments. How much years is that? My lord. You know, at the top of the show, playing Marjorie Taylor Greene, dreaming of becoming Donald Trump's vice presidential pick. But, you know, when you look through the list here, the short list, you have South Dakota Governor Kristen Noem. You know, she's proven that she has no drop of sense. She's just beautiful on the outside, but a real bastard on the inside. Tim Scott from South Carolina, the senator. The token black man in the Republican Party currently. Elise Stefanik, the number three in the House, is from New York. She's 39 years old, had been long considered a rising star in the GOP before she became one of the most loyal Trump supporters in the House and rose up to the House GOP leadership ranks. She served on Trump's impeachment defense team, endorsed him ahead in his 2024 campaign, and backed him amid his mounting legal battles. So she was the one who filed judicial ethics complaint against a New York judge handling Trump's civil fraud trial and was thrown out. She was first elected in Congress in 2014 at the age of 30. And, you know, youth is on our side, being her age. It might appeal to women and suburban voters. So it's unclear whether a congresswoman who hails from Northern New York would provide as much as an electoral college edge as other potential candidates. You know, she lacked experience, but youth is there. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, we're not even going to talk about her. She's a liar, and she's full of shit. Baron Donalds, congressman from Florida, District 7. He's another token black. You'll surprise him because he's not worth talking about. Nikki Haley, former UN ambassador to United States ambassador to UN. Previous to that, she was the governor of South Carolina. She's a flip-flopper, so she's not going to take her seriously. And also the GOP picking, you know, if Trump died tomorrow, I'd also them picking her as the presidential candidate because the Republican Party is so sexist against women. It's impossible.
I agree.
Former CIA director and former Trump Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he's a former congressman from Kansas as well. He passed on a 2024 bid for his own campaign, and he still hasn't endorsed Donald Trump and everything. So he's waiting in the wings to see what happened. And, of course, there was a feud between the two men where Pompeo has taken time and veiled swipes at Trump, particularly over national debt and the Republican Party's track record on elections since Trump was first elected. You know, so he has some more to come of respect and decency, but he's still a bastard. Vivek Ramaswamy, I can't imagine if Trump died tomorrow.
He
will take over.
Yeah, he's as bad as him, if not worse. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
This Cheney's book that's going to be coming out, I believe it's coming out tomorrow, and it's called Oath and Honor, A Memoir and a Warning. I'm probably going to get the book and maybe share it. We need to do something, and I don't know how else to, you know, maybe we can give it to a Republican friend, and, you know, if they trust Liz Cheney, maybe they'll, listen to what she has to say, and, you know, might change someone's mind. So you have to think about that, you know, and like I said, The Atlantic is coming out with that, those essays, they're coming out with those. I'll find out when, and we'll talk about it the next, on Sunday when we come back. Oh, no, I'm sorry, on Thursday when we come back. And we'll see, you know, how we can get a hold of a copy. So, we can't ignore any of this. It just can't be ignored. We're to the point now where all the sirens are going off, and the media has finally decided to open their mouths and start, you know, saying our democracy is in peril. Our democracy is in trouble. And we have to listen now and be, you know, and do what we have to do.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And at the top of the show, you know, I talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene being a possible vice presidential nominee.
Yeah.
She's stupid, and she's a moron, and she's dangerous. She was Kevin McCarthy's number two person. She was like two heartbeats away from the presidency. I can't imagine her being vice president, much less president. So,
no.
You know, this district in Georgia, even though heavily gerrymandered, need to do better than that.
Yes,
they do. She and Lauren Boebert in the category by themselves. Yes, last word.
Think about why Pence was picked. He's quiet. He will stand behind. He stood behind Trump. Never said a word.
No.
Would sit at a meeting, never said a word. Now, what type of personality is around just like Pence? That is what Trump will pick.
Exactly.
Yeah, he does not want to be upstaged. He's still a reality star.
You're right.
That has to be the last word. So next time, it's Thursday coming up, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Same time, same place on Blog Talk Radio. Remember to check out kitchenpolitics123.com and also our Facebook page. We thank everybody for joining us and sharing across social media. We thank Elaine. We thank Khalil in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Thank you so much.
Until Thursday, we'll see you again, folks. This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Picka from Michigan. Everyone rest well, and let's save our democracy, people. Good night, all. You have to go pee.
Thank you. For the last word. Good evening, Lawrence.
The audio tape that you played in the last hour, we're going to run it again. Reyes gets to hear all 2 minutes of it uncut once again. And it brings to life page 15 and 16 of the indictment against Donald Trump, in which there is a partial transcript of what we hear tonight. And that issue, when you're reading the indictment, the words sound like, as you read them, like Donald Trump is showing a document. With the audio sounds, you hear those paper sounds. You hear that sounds like he's holding up a document, which he describes as being pages long.
This audio recording is, again, not a lawyer, don't even play one on TV, but it's like if you were charging somebody with bank robbery, and you had an audio recording of them being like, okay, I'm got my balaclava on. I'm walking into the bank. I'm now going to rob the bank. Okay, ready? Here I go to rob the bank. Hey, ma'am, put the money in the bag. Or I'll show, look at my gun. Okay, now I'm leaving the bank with the money. I mean, He's walking you through every step of the crime, including his state of mind, in terms of his knowledge that what he's doing is illegal. And he's doing it out loud, and it's on tape, and they have the tape. And now we have the tape.
Well, Andrew Weissman is with us, and he has had to reach that standard in court of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And I will ask him if this recording does that, and if not, what else do you need? I suspect what else you need is the actual eyewitness testimony of the person who probably made that recording and others who we hear in that recording who can then supply the visual of, yes, he was holding up a document. It said top secret. It said Iran. He kept pointing to that spot. And then, yeah, that's pretty much proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
And, you know, Andrew is the one who has made a very eloquent case in print that, you know, it's possible that the act of showing somebody a classified document is a different crime than just retaining classified documents. Andrew has made a very strong case that the showing of the classified document to a person who is not cleared to see it seems to have happened on that tape. And if they have evidence that that happened, that could be charged theoretically in New Jersey, in addition to the retention of classified documents being charged as it already has been in Florida. And that prospect, I feel like I theoretically thought about it when Andrew wrote that piece about it. But now hearing the tape, I grok it. I understand viscerally how that charge may be a live prospect.
Well, you know what's great? We can ask Andrew Weissman about that, and we can ask him what this audio recording does for that point he was making about possibly bringing charges in New Jersey. And we can do that pretty much as soon as I say goodnight to you and then set up this audio. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.